WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
Open your action. Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win!
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Good evening and welcome into this week's edition of Inside Ben Davis Football. Tonight we are from the WBDG studios. And Jeff Robison absent of tonight's episode. So I'm joined with John Eastern, of course, Coach Simmons. I'm Grant Covey, your host for this evening. Last week, the Giants traveled up to Carmel for a big rivalry game, but ultimately came up short 21-7 in some mistakes that led to that loss against Carmel. The Giants now 3-4 overall, 2-3 in the MIC conference. With the big game against Lawrence Central coming up this Friday night. Coach, take us through that Carmel game and the things that need improvement before this week.
Yeah, you know, when you look at Friday night's game, Grant, you know, I felt like, you know, really we had two different teams in some ways. You look at our offensive football team, we take the opening drive, we're working our way down the field, had first and 10 at the 32-yard line, take a sack. That set us back, end up punting them, pinning them, trying to pin him deep. You know, we were close. Ty Nibbs got off a beautiful punt. Capone Powell worked his rear end off like he has all year long to get down there and kill it. Just missed it. Gave Carmel the ball at the 20. They put together an 80-yard drive. 41 of those came on two runs. And for us, it was just it was a technique fundamentals thing that we didn't get right. Then you look at, you know, safety run support, missed a couple tackles. And so, you know, that part was frustrating. You know, we put up a fight down at the goal line, got ourselves down 7-0, answered that, got back into it, went into half at 7-7, really felt good about where we were. Kicking off, start the second half. We chose to put Carmel into the wind, trying to go win the third quarter, and just didn't get it done. You know, we had the ball first and 10 from the 26. Took a sack and didn't have to. That kind of set us back. Took a 10-yard sack there, and we ended up punting. And then, you know, Carmel drove and pinned us deep, and then that's what led to us getting the punt block for a touchdown. And then the following kickoff, their kicker did a heck of a job putting it up into the wind with backspin on it, and we let the ball hit the ground, kicked right back to their coverage unit, and that put us down 21-7 early fourth quarter, and just didn't respond. But, you know, when you look at that game, when you take a step back, and you know, we talk to our guys a lot about, you know, discipline and details, and you never know when those three or four, you know, or five plays that are going to make the difference in a ball game, you never know when they're going to come. And when those plays came, you got to tip your hat to Carmel, who made them. You know, I felt like their defense controlled the line of scrimmage. Really kept us from getting into a rhythm and getting going offensively. We took way too many sacks Friday. You know, we had six for the game, and you know, not all of those were on our offensive line. Not all of those were on our quarterback. Not all of those were on our wide receiver. But, you know, those three position groups certainly contributed. Even our running backs contributed to us giving up sacks. Our special teams, I thought, were solid, other than those two huge plays. You know, Ty Nibbs has been rock steady at the punter spot all year. Darian Herbert's done a nice job as a long snapper. Coverage units have been solid. You know, I thought Zach Fox did a nice job with the one PAT attempt that we had. And then you look at the work that we put in defensively, and I felt like our guys played as well as they've played all year. You know, we have really worked over the last couple of weeks to simplify things in some areas and utilize our experience and our football IQ in some different areas to expand our defense. I felt like our defensive line held up against Carmel's run game for the most part throughout. We got a solid game out of Malik Temple in the middle. Felt like Ravion Tharp played well. Cam Kelly, forced back into the lineup, played for us early, got bumped from the lineup, but didn't pout, didn't hang his head, just kept working to get better, and that paid off for him. Cam played his rear end off at inside linebacker, filling in for Ty Cush, who we lost against LN. And then, you know, you look at A.J. Moore, somebody that didn't expect to play inside backer, who we put there, has done a nice job. And I felt like our secondary really, really played well throughout. Mike Adams and Kenny Fair really started to grow as our safety tandem. We inserted Dalen Carnell as at the corner spot opposite Jalen Dobson, and those two guys with their length really played well. And then, you know, our rock steady guy in Capone Powell, he's our energy guy. He's a guy that we bounced around from spot to spot because we felt like we needed to find a way to get him on the field. You know, he has really settled into that nickel outside linebacker role for us. He's leading our football team in tackles. And I couldn't be more proud of a kid than Capone right now. Just the way he works, the way he plays, the energy he brings. He truly loves Ben Davis football. And he, you know, his attitude has certainly determined his altitude. And, you know, he's had a great run so far.
Coach, when you look at that game, you kind of mentioned your defensive play, you know, as being one of the highlights. And I think we've seen the last couple weeks, you've seen that defense grow a little bit. How much more confidence does that give you going on further down the season? Because, you know, they had a little bit of a rocky start, to be fair. What kind of confidence does that give you going forward?
Well, we're watching our group grow and grow every week. And, you know, we, through the first 5 weeks of the season, you know, we shuffled people around. We were just trying to find the right pieces to the puzzle. Feel like we're in a better spot right now than we've been in some other games. Certainly feel like our kids are starting to find their stride. They're figuring out, you know, they understand more of the why behind our scheme and behind what we're doing than where we were earlier. I feel like our defensive staff has done a nice job of continuing to throw stuff. You know, we talk to them, you know, it's kind of like spaghetti. You know, you cook it until you think it's done. You throw it up against the wall. If it sticks, it stays. If it doesn't, then you put it back in the pot and keep cooking it. And so there have been some position groups, there have been some spots that we've had to keep cooking. There have been some other spots that have stuck to the wall, and, you know, we've tried to take them and run. And, you know, I think what matters for us is, you know, the pursuit of getting better every single day. And it sounds so much like a cliche, and I know our guys are tired of hearing it, but we have to continue to work to get better every single day because the ultimate goal is still out in front of us. We're 2-3 in the MIC. Nobody's happy about being 3-4. You know, our coaches aren't happy. Our players aren't happy. I'm sure our parents aren't happy. I'm not happy. But we have to continue to keep our nose down and keep our nose down and work. We can complain about it, or we can just stay in work mode and work to get better and just go win the next day. And, you know, that's really what we're trying to do.
Coach, you mentioned, you know, the losing, and you're 3-4, and nobody likes to lose, and it's definitely a different season from last year. But what have you done to make sure that your players, you know, keep their head and realize that the next day is a different day and the next game is a different game, and it's yours to decide what happens, you know, on that day and how you come out and perform? So what has kind of been your message to the team, you know, just here on the closing weeks of the season?
Well, I think it starts with me, and it also carries through our coaching staff. And, you know, our guys have done a great job, just speaking of our coaching staff, of showing up and working. And that's, you know, we got football smart people. We got guys that love our kids. We have guys that were on that have been on staff here before. We got new guys, and they show up and work. And, you know, I think when we tell the kids, hey, we got to show up and work to get better, we have to model that. We have to grow it, and we have to run with it, or else our kids are going to look at us like, well, you guys aren't working either. You know, and we have to be transparent and honest with ourselves, and we have to be transparent and honest with our kids. And I think our attitude as coaches is critical in terms of leading our players. And then we're transparent with them. You know, if they're doing a good job, we're going to tell them they're doing a good job. And, you know, our guys know that we're going to be honest with them. We're going to coach them hard. And at the end of the day, we're also going to support them and be their biggest fan too.
I know you talked about this a little bit while you were going over the rundown of the game, but at halftime, you know, we were sitting up in the press box and watching Carmel's band perform, and then all of a sudden just one of those Indiana fronts came through, and that wind really, really kicked up. I mean, it was not really windy to start the game, but man, that wind kicked up and the temperature changed. And how do you deal with things that, you know, are environmental like that?
you know, for us, when we went in at half, you know, the officials asked which way we wanted to kick, and we just told them we wanted to kick away from the big board. You know, playing at Carmel's unique because they have a game clock on both ends of the field, and usually that clock matters. If you're going to determine field position, all, you know, all things considered, you know, a lot of times you want the clock in the fourth so your quarterback sees it. He can help be an extension of the coaching staff and manage that clock if you get into a late game situation. So we wanted to kick away from the big board for no other reason than obviously it's a bigger of the two game clocks. But at Carmel, it's really indifferent. You know, we're 10, 12 minutes into halftime. You know, we've talked to our kids, made adjustments, trying to wait out halftime a little bit, make sure we keep our minds right. And, you know, I walk out, you know, because at Carmel, you're right there, you're right off the track. And I walk out and I'm like, whoa, those flags are moving awfully hard. You know, and that wind was dead out of the north. And the tent, like, you know, like you talked about, John, temperature changed. And, you know, so I talked to Coach Poizel, who's obviously helping with our kickers and punters. And he just said, hey, we want to kick away from, we want to kick to the big board. And I said, yeah, you know, we do. And so, you know, we go back in, talk to the kids. Hey, this is what we're going to do, because we had already told them, you know, we're going to kick away from the big board. We're going to go win the third quarter. So we go back in and we just tell them, hey, wind shifted directions. We've got to be mindful of it. It's not that deep. You know, we just keep an eye on the flags. And really the group that impacts the most are your kick and punt returners. You know, we didn't feel like it was going to impact our passing game that much. Didn't feel like it would really impact theirs at all either. And so, you know, we talked to our kick, you know, our kick returners and punt returners, talked to our kickers and punters, and, you know, and then you just line up and go play ball, and you just got to be smart. And, you know, obviously they played the wind well on their one kickoff that we didn't get adjusted to. And so, you know, for us, it's just, you know, it was an easy adjustment to make. The officials come out and say, hey, sorry, we lied to you. We want to kick the other way. and then you got to send the chain gang running. So, but it, you know, it's one of those things that we want to bring to our players' attention, but not dwell on to the point that it gets in their head too much.
At halftime, it's a 7-7 ball game. What is your message in the locker room? It's basically you're coming back out in the third quarter. It's a 0-0 game. How important is it to win that third quarter?
Well, we felt like it was really critical to win the third quarter. We felt like the team that scored first in the second half could be able to dictate the clock and really dictate the tempo. And that's exactly the way it played out. You know, Carmel scored first in the second half, and they dictated tempo and dictated the pace of play from there. Our message to the kids was simple. We need to run the football. We need to stop the run first. We also need to make sure that we execute better in the passing game. And then we went out in the second half and just never got into a rhythm offensively. A large part of that, certainly due to Carmel's defensive line and the way they executed in the second half defensively.
And it just felt like in that game, Coach, you weren't able to get over the hump offensively for your team. So talk a little bit about your offensive performance on Friday night.
Yeah, we never got into a rhythm. You know, when you look at our offense and you look at when our offense is rolling, the one touchdown drive, the one scoring drive we had, you know, we were able to get a couple of first downs, get into a rhythm, push tempo, and then, you know, then we rip off a 40-yard run. And, you know, that's when our offense is flowing at its best. That was the best drive I felt like Trent had at quarterback, and that was the best drive that our offensive line had that night. And, you know, trying to get our guys to replicate that, we never got back into that rhythm. And, you know, Carmel's really, really solid defensively. When you look at their games across the board in the mix, they went to three overtimes the week before versus North Central, and they gave up some big plays in the special teams game that kind of put them in a position for that game to go to overtime. And so we didn't execute. We were not clean in execution. We weren't able to get into a rhythm in terms of running the football and winning the line of scrimmage. And then in the passing game, we weren't anywhere close to executing at a level to win a big Mick game like that one was.
All right. This has been the first half of Inside Ben Davis Football. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back, get you set for the matchup this Friday against Lawrence Central. We'll come back in 1 minute here on the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
Seriously 24/7 is a supporter of this WBDG sports broadcast on Giant 90.9. Seriously 24/7 offers residential plumbing, drain cleaning, sewer repair and replacement, remodels, water softeners, and well repairs. Located in Brownsburg at 124 East Northfield Drive, suite number 256, Seriously 24/7 can be reached at 317-501-4964. Hours of operation are Seriously 24/7. WBDG thanks Seriously 24/7 for their support of the sports broadcast.
WBDG thanks Culver's for their support of this WBDG sports broadcast. Culver's has a selection of Butterburgers, fries, fish, and chicken. Culver's also offers a variety of soups, salads, kids' meals, desserts, and frozen custard. Culver's is located just off Rockville Road and can be reached at 463-202-2085 and on the web at culvers.com. WBDG thanks Culver's for their support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football here, back for the second segment of tonight's show, where we preview the upcoming matchup on Friday against the Lawrence Central Bears this week. This will be the last guaranteed game for your 2018 class of 2019 seniors. So, you know, what has kind of been their, you know, motivation coming into this week? This is their, this could be their last ever game at Giants Stadium coming up on Friday night.
Well, we certainly don't want to think that way. For us, obviously, we'll know more when the tournament draw comes out on Sunday, you know, through the IHSAA. But, you know, for us, we haven't done a whole lot different right now. We've just shown up and gone back to work. You know, we have a core group of seniors that have been with us, you know, certainly since I got hired, who have been at everything, who have stayed committed to the program. Who I'm excited and ready to recognize, you know, whether you start at the top of the list with Mike Adams or you work your way all the way down to Bryce Warden and Miles Williams at the end. Certainly have a core group of guys that have made this first year back for me, or first year as a head coach of Ben Davis, one that I'll remember forever. You know, it's been a great group of seniors for us, whether it's, you know, James Barker, Muhammad Sidibe, Dewan Jones, and Teron Thomas on the offensive line, or whether it's Delbert at running back, Bryce Warden at wide receiver, whether you get going on those defensive line guys, and, you know, and really throughout our defense, whether it's in the secondary or whether, no matter where it's at, you know, I feel like our senior class has been great, for me personally, you know, and I want to show up and continue to work and give them the best experience that we can here throughout the rest of the season, and certainly give them everything I have, because they've been giving everything that they have since I got here in March. And so certainly looking forward to that, looking forward to the moment with those guys. Want to continue to work, and, you know, that's been our mantra really since day one, is just showing up and embracing work and competing. And, you know, that group of guys has certainly done that. They've given everything they've had this season to the program, and I know Friday night will be no different for them, playing on that field for their last regular season home game.
When you look at this Lawrence Central team coming in, it's not unlike your situation where they're coming in. You've got to see, you know, highly successful coach from Ohio coming in, Coach Rodenberg making the move over from Moeller, I believe he was at Cincinnati Moeller, and coming across where he won state championships, coming across the border, taking the LC job. It was a bit of a surprise, I think, to everyone when they announced that position. But what's he going through right now up there in Lawrence Central? Talk a little bit about the Bears.
Yeah, haven't really talked to him much, if at all. Saw him one time this summer at a 7-on-7 tournament, just introduced myself, welcomed him to Indiana. And then, you know, when you look at him on film, they're different than they were a year ago schematically. They have good football players all over the deck. You know, they have offensive lineman who's a big kid, physical kid, you know, takes care of the A-gap run game really well. They have two wide receivers on the perimeter that can go score anytime they touch the ball, and Donovan Wright and LaShawn Bright. You know, those two guys are big playmakers for him. Defensively, when you look at them, you know, they have two starters back in the secondary that we have to be alert to. And they're solid across the board defensively. And so, you know, when we look at them, they're similar to us defensively in terms of scheme, which has helped us in preparation this week. And then you look at them offensively, they will blend personnel groups quite a bit, so we have to make sure that we recognize people, and then we also have to know where their playmakers are on the field.
You mentioned, Coach, that this could be a depending on what happens on Sunday with the draw, this is something that could happen again in two, three weeks, whatever. I'm getting confused on the time with fall break and everything. I think it is 2 weeks, 3 weeks away.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. So it's the same situation that happened last year with the Giants. They go up there, play them pretty tough, and, you know, kind of drill them at Lawrence Central, and then 3 weeks later they get in a dogfight with LC up there and really had to play well in the second half to come out ahead. So what do you show them now? Are there any secrets at this point?
No. No, for us, we didn't even broach that conversation. For us, we're trying to get better every single day, and we're trying to go win a football game. That's priority number one for us. If I felt like we were in a position to hold some cards, we would. But you know, that's not doing our players in our program any justice. We need to go win a ball game. We'll circle the wagons back if the draw says 2 days after that game. If the draw says you know we got them again, then you know we're certainly going to have a lot of opponent prep work done ahead of time. And you know we'll go to work on putting a game plan together based off of where we're at with you know their final regular season game and when you know with the results of week 8 and how that game played out. We'll go to work on putting a game plan together for that one, but we're going into this thing and we're not going to hold anything back going into it,
because you know once again we are an east side school according to the IHSAA, putting us in with Lawrence Central, Lawrence North, and Warren in the sectional. So somehow, even though Avon, Brownsburg, and Pike are just hop, skip, and a jump away, that's the way it goes. But you got to play them anyway, right?
Well, you got to play them anyway, and so much of that just comes down to who's on the committees and you know how those maps shake out, and you just never know the numbers, you know. And you could get in if you've never participated in a realignment. You could get into all of the scenarios and all of the what ifs. You know, the one thing that I've been fortunate enough to do through our coaches association is submit my version of what the tournament should look like. 6A geographically was a little different, you know, with this last reclassification, but so much of it comes down to who's on the realignment committees and what they feel like is in the best interest of their member schools.
When you look at Lawrence Central on Friday, what are some of the things or some of the players that you have to stop? And I know you can't game plan for two players or three players, because then they'll just come and beat you with four other players that you weren't expecting. So what are some things that you got to watch out for with Lawrence Central on Friday, and maybe some players that you need to keep your eye on?
You know, I think the thing that was good for us defensively that stood out to me from last Friday is we were more active in getting our hands on the ball. And, you know, a large part of that was Dalen Carnell's interception. But our defense got two stops when Carmel was in the red zone area, in the fringe red zone area. Kenny Fair was more active. Got a fumble recovery. Dalen got a pick. And so for us, you know, we defended 70 snaps against Lawrence North, and 53 of those 70 snaps went for 58 yards. I think we talked about that last Tuesday. And so for us, our big goal was limiting that 17, limiting those 17 chunk plays that we gave up. We did that against Carmel, yeah, and that number was higher than we wanted it to be, but it was certainly lower than 17. And that's our focus. And when you look at LC, they got two guys that can gash it pretty quickly, and Bright and Donovan Wright on the perimeter. And so we have to be alert to those two guys. We have to continue to control the opponent's run game, or trying to minimize, you know, those chunk runs. You know, they will run, they'll run their quarterback, they'll run their tailback. So we have to stay disciplined in our zone read game, and we have to make sure that we defend the option principles well. But for us, it's going to be making sure that we play well in the secondary and minimize those big plays in the passing game.
With a coach like Coach Rodenberg coming over, how much of what he has done and what he's going to do, how much of that remains a mystery?
Not a lot. When you look, and the reason is, you know, I felt like our staff has done its due diligence. The beauty of technology in 2018 is you can go pull his games up from when he was at Moeller. And so we have guys on staff that have done that, that have gotten onto YouTube and have checked out some of those games from Moeller. And you know what he did in Cincinnati isn't really showing up on film here. And so, you know, I think a large part of that is the staff that he's been able to put together at Lawrence Central and some of their beliefs and principles combined with his. And so we feel like we have a good handle on where they're at and what they're going to do, especially with different personnel groups on the field on both sides of the ball. You know, whether that's on the offense, whether they're when their offense is on the field and when their defense is on the field. And so, you know, we did our due diligence and we went back and checked past film courtesy of YouTube and technology. So I appreciate that. But, you know, we feel like through the first seven games of the year, we have an idea of where they're at.
Coach, you mentioned those turnovers he had on defense on last Friday. So how big have those been throughout the year, getting a turnover on defense? And you mentioned they were inside the red zone. How big of a confidence booster and a momentum swing is that for your team and for your offenses when they head out onto the field?
Well, we would like for it to generate more points than what it has to this point. But, you know, when you look at where we were defensively, and we talked about our struggles through the first 5 weeks, we weren't getting our hands on a lot of footballs. And when you do that, or when you don't do that, you minimize those opportunities to give your offense great field position. You know, when you look at some of the different games that we've been in this year, and, you know, if we throw an interception or fumble and they get any type of return on that at all, the opponent's offense has had better field position than us. You know, we went back and we've done that study to the point that, you know, and through the first five games, and, you know, we were losing the starting field position battle by about 20 yards in games that we were losing, and we were winning it in games that we were successful. And so, you know, you can start to look at all the critical game moments for in the game of football, but takeaways are going to play into that. You know, if we're giving the ball up and we're giving a return on it, now we're setting the other team's offense up with a short field, and that most of the time in this league, that's not going to end well for you. And so, you know, conversely, we have to go get the ball defensively. We did a better job of it Friday. We continue to make it an emphasis in practice. Our guys have answered that bell this week through the first 2 days. So we need to continue to emphasize it tomorrow all the way through Friday's game and then into next week. And we need to take care of the football better, you know, and that comes down to decision making. It comes down to execution.
Coach, I wanted to give you a little chance here at the end of the show to talk about the Unified Flag Football Team. We're sectional champions.
That's cool.
Last weekend, and now they play the regional here at Ben Davis on Saturday. Anything you want to give them a shout out or how they've been doing?
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, you want to congratulate them because, you know, that's a huge accomplishment for those guys. And, you know, you tip your hat to Special Olympics of Indiana and the IHSAA for their inclusion movement and for incorporating this sport into the fall season. Gives those kiddos an opportunity to continue to represent Ben Davis in more than one way. And, you know, that group of student athletes has done a tremendous job representing Ben Davis. Got the first fall sectional championship for us, hopefully not the last, with, you know, boys soccer playing well and some other teams coming up here competing
cross countries
this Saturday, and they're running really well too. So, you know, you certainly want to tip your hat to them and wish them the best of luck. I know they play here in the regional Saturday afternoon at 2 or 3 2 o'clock.
Tickets are $5. We're exploring doing the game on WBDG. Not ready to announce anything yet, but we're
certainly a possibility. Yeah. So, you know, those young people have done a tremendous job, representing Ben Davis, and certainly look forward to them having more success this weekend.
Another question for you, Coach. I saw the Giant Bands, they tweeted out, I think this was at their practice session the week that they had the two contests on the same day. We saw you at that practice session. What did you tell the band?
Well, I thanked them. It was the Saturday morning after our LN game. And, you know, when you look at, and you're here a ton, John, so you get it from this perspective. When you look, there aren't very many groups here, if any, that are here as much as our band or our athletic teams. And, you know, you look at what those students do during the school day, working to maintain great GPAs and be ambassadors of our school. During the day, they're also doing the same thing in the afternoon and evening. And it's really, you know, I thanked them for the energy that they brought to our game against Lawrence North Friday night up in the stands. You know, when they continue to play in between drives, they play the fight song after we score. All of those things, you know, help get the crowd going and help add to the environment that takes place at our stadium. And so I thanked them for that. Certainly recognize their efforts because I feel like when our kids are here, they're here. And sometimes when I'm leaving, they're still here, or when I'm showing up, you know, they're showing up, especially on the weekends. And so, you know, it's a group that works hard, and it's a group that certainly represents Ben Davis well. And I just wanted to take a quick opportunity because I think David Cole and I laughed because we went from 90 degrees during the week, and that Saturday morning right. It was like 50 something. And it's like, man. So, you know, they're kind of like the mailman, whether it's 90 or 50, they were out there working, and our guys were here working. And, you know, sometimes we put so much on our kiddos, you know, whether they're athletes or whether they're, you know, participating in a different extracurricular, that sometimes it's nice for them to hear a thank you from somebody other than their own coach. Cause I know our guys haven't heard me say thank you to them very much this year. But, you know, I just wanted to stop by and recognize their efforts because, you know, they certainly bring a lot of energy to our home games.
I thought that was really cool.
Coach, your final word to the fans gearing up for your last regular season home game.
We got a great group of seniors that deserve all the support that they can get. You know, they since I got hired in March, they've done nothing but work and embrace work. It's a great group of kids that have given a lot to Ben Davis High School, have given a lot to Ben Davis football, and I would love for them to have their last regular season home game. I'd love to have love for those guys to have a great home crowd to recognize them.
They kind of kept the lights on in between when Coach Kirshner left and when you got here as well.
Yeah, they certainly put in a lot of work to do that, and you go back to those guys trying to organize workouts in March or in December and January and February, and you know those guys have been through a lot. It's a great group of kids. They've been an absolute pleasure to coach, and they're certainly worthy of having a great home crowd at their last regular season home game.
All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of Inside Ben Davis Football. Thanks to John running the controls tonight, and of course a big thanks to Coach Simmons for joining us each and every week. This week's episode of Inside Ben Davis Football will be uploaded to audioboom.com like it always is. Search WBDG FM to find it there. The Giants host the Lawrence Central Bears this Friday night at 7 p.m. WBDG brings you the coverage at 6 p.m. For everyone here at WBDG, have a fantastic evening.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.